Blog Talk Radio.
Now, shalom, everyone. This is the Daniel Martin of the panel. This is a divine prophet. I want to welcome you to our radio program as we look at sermons from death. The light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the next prophetic event that we call the rapture of the church. So, folks, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the show today. We come to you every single Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island, right up here in the Northeast in the New England area. And, again, thank you so much for tuning into the show. I want to encourage you to tune in every week as I look at a leading news story, and I look at that news story from a prophetic perspective to see how close we may be to the soon return of the Lord Jesus at the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church of the living God. So I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning into the show today. Hey, next week, don't forget to invite a friend, because next week's show, I am going to be coming to you live from the land of Israel. We will be in the Holy Land. And, of course, I will be leaving Sunday evening, December the 6th. And myself, Dr. Todd Baker, he is going to be accompanying me. We're both going to be flying to Israel for the 36th Israel Missions Outreach. This is not a tour. We're not bringing a group of Christians with us. It's just Dr. Todd Baker and myself. We'll be going to Israel, and we're going to be sharing the gospel one-on-one with the Jewish people. We're going to be passing out complete Hebrew Bibles, both Old and New Testaments, and get them in the hands of the Jewish people. Last time we were there in June, we had the opportunity, Dr. Baker and myself, to pass out 78 Hebrew Bibles, and we led two Jewish men to the Lord, as well as an Arab lady up in a place called Akko. And so we're really looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do on this trip. We'll be leaving December the 6th, coming back on Christmas Eve, December the 24th. I want to thank all of you out there who have given to this mission's outreach. And Dr. Baker and I really covet your prayers that God would use us out there in the Holy Land, there in the Middle East, where it seems to be heating up right now, folks. And but, you know, we're in the hand of the Lord. This is going to be my 13th. Trip to Israel, and I never have any issues while I'm out there. Never have any problems whatsoever. So we're in the hand of the Lord, and we're praying that God would use us out there to share the gospel. But what's really interesting, or actually exciting, about this trip is that I'm going to be there for the first time for Hanukkah. Hanukkah begins Sunday evening, December the 6th, it'll be the first day of Hanukkah, that eight-day celebration. So Dr. Baker and I will be there in Israel for Hanukkah. We're also going to use that as an opportunity to do some video teaching out there on Hanukkah and its relation to Bible prophecy. And that's what I want to talk about on today's program, is Daniel chapter 11, Hanukkah, and Bible prophecy. But before I get to that, if you are listening live and you have an email question, or if you'd like to call me personally on today's show, you can do that by dialing the toll-free number, 877-659-8944. 877-659-8944. That's a toll-free number all across the United States. Radio website, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. And you'll see the archives of the last shows that we did. And all you got to do is scroll down, and you'll see the link for the live show. Click on that link, and that will take you to our area on Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen live to the show. But if you're watching this YouTube video, it's not live. It's a pre-recorded broadcast. But I'd love to encourage you to tune into the live broadcast every Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also send us an email question, august.thedayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. august.thedayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Give me your name, what state you're from, and make your question very brief so that we can read it on the air. But if you're not phone shy and you want to be on the radio, then toll free, 877-659-8944. Now, folks, I do have a tour leaving for Israel in 2016, March 14th through the 24th. That's going to be an 11-day tour that will be Israel and Jordan. So you're going to get two countries for the price of one. I want to encourage you to join my wife and I in the land of Israel for 11 days, looking at Israel past, Israel present, and the highlight of the tour, Israel future, according to Bible prophecy. You know, going to the land of Israel is like walking on to a stage. The actors have departed, but all the props are still there. And I want you to see these props for your own eyes. So I want to encourage you to join us in Israel. We're walking in the footsteps of Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. Look at all the places associated with his ministry. And, of course, a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. We'll start that boat right in the very midst of the Sea of Galilee. And I'll do a Bible devotion as we're surrounded by the hills of Galilee. And then go to the very areas that are associated with his ministry. One of them being Capernaum, Matthew chapter 8. That was the main headquarters of Jesus' ministry. We'll go to Capernaum, and I will show you the remains of a 2,000-year-old synagogue, the synagogue that Jesus himself preached in. So come to Israel with us, walk in the footsteps of Jesus the Messiah, discover the Jewish roots of your Christian faith, and I guarantee you that after 11 days, folks, you'll never read your Bible the same way again. So I want to encourage you to join my wife and I in the land of Israel, March 14th through the 24th, 2016, including Petra in southern Jordan. If you want more information, then you can go to the website, ChristianToursToIsrael.com. Click on Group Tours, and then you'll see my tour there, the Today in Bible Prophecy Tour with August Rosado. And you can look at the itinerary, the registration, the cost, and so you can look at all that for yourself. Or just simply go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Or you can also call our tour operator, Eyal Evan. Their toll-free number at Christian Tours to Israel is 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. Ask for Eyal Evan and let him know that you want to join me on the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel. We take between 15, 20 people. We like to keep it really small. I don't like doing big tours, and I want to make it personal for everybody. I'd rather take 15 people with us to make it nice and personal, but you know, we'll do 20 as well. That would pretty much be the limit right there. But I want to make it personal for everybody. You know, I've seen guys going out there with 300 people, 400 people, and it's just not personal. It's too long. You don't get to see much. But with a small tour and with the tour guide that I have, Hillel Bar Sadeh, I mean, we do things that most Christians don't even do over there in Israel. I'll take you through Hezekiah's tunnel, where we will walk through a 2,600-year-old tunnel mentioned in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 20. We'll start off outside the city walls, right near the Pool of Siloam, where you will see the Gihon Springs. That's mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 33, where David on his deathbed instructs Nathan the prophet to anoint his son Solomon to be the next king of Israel. And by the way, that's what we believe would be the area of creation, the Garden of Eden, because the Gihon Spring went out of the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says parted into four rivers. I don't have a whole lot of time to develop that right now. We'll probably end up doing that on a future show. But it's right in that area, folks. And, of course, that's what the rabbis, they've always believed that that's where the Garden of Eden is. But we'll take you right down through the Gihon Spring, right into Hezekiah's tunnel, and we'll walk roughly for about 30 minutes through that tunnel, and I'll show you the area where they found a Pool of Siloam inscription that talked about the construction of that very tunnel. Unfortunately, it's housed today in the Istanbul Museum. They won't give it back to the government of Israel, so they have a replica down there that you can see. And then when we come out of Hezekiah's tunnel, we end up at the Pool of Siloam, mentioned in John chapter number 9, where Jesus tells the blind man to wash the mud out of his eyes from the Pool of Siloam. I mean, folks, I could just keep going on and on and on and on and on. But I really want to encourage you. Listen, don't listen to the liberal media. Don't listen to all of these guys that are biased against Israel. You need to experience the land for yourself. I've been there when there were worse situations going on. And my tour group and I did not see one inch of violence out there. Israel is one of the safest countries that anybody can go to. By far the safest. So I want to encourage you to come with us to the land of Israel. If you didn't get all the information about the tour, rewind this video or just go right to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. And again, folks, tomorrow, December the 6th, 2015, Tom Baker and I will be leaving for Israel, and we'll be doing a lot of video teaching out there on Hanukkah and Bible prophecy. I'm going to talk about that on today's show. I usually come up with a news story today, but as you can see, I'm pretty much decked out today, and I have my Hanukkah tied with me with the dreidels on it. And, of course, you can see over here, I have the Hanukkah burning. It is an 8-branch candelabra with a knob on the very top of it, and I'll talk about that in a few moments. And then, of course, I have over here in Hebrew where it says Hanukkah, and so I'm really excited. Again, this is going to be my 13th time going to Israel for the first time for Hanukkah in the land of Israel, so I'm really, really excited about that. So what I want to do right now is I want to get into this story, the message of Hanukkah. As a matter of fact, we can find the development for the festival of Hanukkah in Daniel chapter 11. But it's a really long chapter. So what I want to do is I just want to read two verses out of Daniel that we're going to go ahead and elaborate. So when we look at Daniel chapter number 11, I want to look at verse number 21, and it says this: "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery." Then I go to Daniel 11:36, where it says, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, until the ending nation be accomplished, but that is determined shall be done." So in Daniel 11:21 and Daniel 11:36 introduces to us two different personalities. Now, Daniel chapter 11 records about 200 years of war between a group called the Ptolemies and a group called the Seleucids. A 200-year war between two factions, the Ptolemies of Egypt and the Seleucids of Syria. Those two dynasties fought for nearly 200 years. Now, the Ptolemies ruled what is Egypt, and the Seleucids at that time ruled what would be Syria. These wars transpired during the 4th through the 2nd century B.C., and it was a war for control and power and supremacy. After Alexander the Great died, at a very young age, by the way, he died at the age of 32 years old, after pretty much conquering the known world. He died at 32 years of age, and his empire is split between his four generals, who fought for complete control of all the known land that he conquered. Daniel wrote these prophecies in the 6th century B.C., and many of those prophecies came to pass, fulfilled between the 4th and 2nd century B.C. That's important, folks. Daniel wrote in the 6th century B.C., many of his prophecies were fulfilled between the 4th and the 2nd century B.C. And this is the reason why liberal theologians, and I use that term loosely, liberal theologian critics hate the book of Daniel, because they say someone other than Daniel wrote the book while all these things were happening between the 4th and 2nd century B.C. So it was somebody other than Daniel that wrote this book. While all these, that assumption is false, because Jesus Christ himself confirms Danielan authorship in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 15. He says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand." Jesus himself confirmed Danielan authorship, that Daniel himself was the author of the book of Daniel. He wrote these prophecies in the 6th century B.C. Many of them were fulfilled between the 4th and the 2nd century B.C. Anyone to say that Daniel did not write the book of Daniel is absolutely wrong. And yet Daniel wrote prophecies, ladies and gentlemen, that are yet to be fulfilled in the not-too-distant future. Now, folks, here is one of the ways that you authenticate the Word of God, the Bible. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse number 4, Daniel wrote about Alexander the Great coming on the scene 200 years in advance. You can't find that type of prophecy in the Muslim Quran. You can't find that type of prophecy in the Book of Mormon. You can't find this type of prophecy in the Hindu Vedas or any other religious book that's out there. All prophecies are contained within the Word of God and the Word of God alone. From Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21, there are no other prophecies outside the Bible. And Daniel, 200 years in advance, spoke about Alexander the Great coming on the scene. Also, in Daniel chapter 11, verse number 21, the verse we just read, Daniel wrote 360 years in advance about Antiochus IV Epiphanes coming coming on the scene. So that's how you authenticate. Obadiah, verses 1 through 14. Obadiah, 350 years in advance, spoke about the Edomite destruction, that Esau, his descendants, the Edomites, and their place down there in Petra would be destroyed by the Nabataeans. Obadiah foretold that 350 years in advance. Another example of authenticating the word of God is in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, and Isaiah chapter 45, verses 13 through 19, where Isaiah prophesied 150 years in advance that Cyrus the Persian, before he was even born, folks, that Cyrus the Persian would come on the scene, deliver the Jewish people, and would allow them to go back to their homeland. 150 years in advance. And, of course, Ezra chapter number 1, talks about that prophecy being fulfilled 150 years later. Wow, that's just amazing. Cyrus conquered the Babylonian Empire, allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple, based on Ezra chapter 2, verses 64 and 65. Roughly about 50,000 leave Babylon, or to be technical, 49,897 leave with Zerubbabel. They go back to Jerusalem, and of course they rebuild the Jewish temple. Folks, that's how you authenticate the word of God. There are no prophecies, as I said, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. But in Daniel chapter 11, it mentions five personalities. It mentions Asurius, known as King Xerxes. He's also known as Asurius. So you have Asurius, Alexander the Great, Antiochus the Great, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and in the future, Antichrist. Now, God uses alliteration in Daniel chapter number 11 to describe these five personalities: Asurius, Alexander the Great, Antiochus the Great, Antiochus Epiphanes, and Antichrist. The Lord used alliteration beautifully. Alliteration simply means words that begin with the same letters. That's alliteration. So you have Asurius, Alexander the Great, Antiochus the Great, Antiochus Epiphanes, and in the future, Antichrist. And again, folks, there are 200 years of wars between the kings of the south and north. The kings of the north, the south, Ptolemies in Egypt, and the Seleucids of the north, Syria, those dynasties. Both dynasties had a succession of kings who continued the battle so that they can have complete and total control of Alexander the Great's empire. But when you go back to Daniel chapter 11 and verse number 21, it introduces to us a successor to the Seleucid dynasty, a man that we read about in Daniel 11:21, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. The Jews called him Antiochus Epimenes. Epimenes meaning Antiochus the madman. And folks, he was indeed a madman. He was a very anti-Semitic individual. And Satan was using this man to try to destroy the Jewish religion, Judaism, if you will. He is called a vile person in Daniel 11:21, and he ruled that area after successfully defeating the Ptolemies in Egypt. He ruled the area, which would include Egypt, today the land of Israel, Syria, all those areas. He ruled those areas between 175 and 163 B.C. He was the last of the Seleucid rulers. He is vile because he outlawed Judaism. he's vile because he persecuted the Jewish people. His devious reign is recorded in Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 25. He is referred to in Daniel chapter 8, verse 9 as the little horn. This guy, that little horn, would be the forerunner, the prototype, if you will, to a future little horn that will come on the scene and do something similar Antiochus IV Epiphanes did in the Jewish temple in 163 B.C. Antiochus Epiphanes hated Judaism with a passion. He hated Judaism and he forced Jews to commit pagan acts of sacrifice of pigs and then forced them to eat pig flesh, which of course is an unkosher animal in Judaism. He would not allow them to worship the God of Israel. And yet the Bible says he hated the Holy Covenant. Now, once again, looking at Daniel chapter number 11 and verse 28, it says this: Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against, not for, against the Holy Covenant. And he shall do exploits and return to his, in other words, that word exploits in the King James, meaning he's going to do major, major damage. So when it says that his heart would be against the Holy Covenant, that would be talking about the Mosaic Covenant. He wouldn't allow Jews to read the Torah, the five books of Moses. He would not allow Jews to circumcise their male babies on the eighth day. He wouldn't allow them to worship in synagogue. He wouldn't allow them to pray. I mean, this was a really, really nasty individual. But Antiochus Epiphanes committed the unthinkable, and he desecrated the temple in Jerusalem by sacrificing a pig in the most holy place, commonly called the Holy of Holies. But he sacrificed a pig, an unkosher animal, the most holy place in the temple. He erected a pagan altar, and he built a statue to honor the Greek god Zeus. This was just absolutely unbelievable. Now, this caused a priestly sect in Judaism to say, that's it. Enough of it. This priestly sect was called the Maccabees. They said, enough's enough, and they waged a 3-year war against Antiochus Epiphanes and the Seleucid dynasty. Daniel chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. Notice what it says. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. That's Antiochus desecrating the temple. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. In other words, he says no more animal sacrifices, and he went and he polluted that temple by sacrificing that pig in the most holy place. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now that should sound familiar to you, because that's also going to happen in the future with a rebuilt third Jewish temple. Well, notice how the Maccabees rose up against Antiochus IV Epiphanes in verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, against the Mosaic covenant, which is read about in verse 48, shall corrupt by flattery. But the people that know their God, talking about the Maccabees here, shall be strong and do exploits. In other words, they're going to be strong and they're going to fight against this madman. And that's exactly what they did. They waged a 3-year war against the Seleucid dynasty. Mattathias Maccabee led a Jewish revolt. On the day of that revolt, and just as one Jew ignored him, that was about to sacrifice the pig, Mattathias rose up and killed that Jew. And then he Jewish nation to band together and fight against Antioch and the false Epiphanes. That's exactly what happened. Waged a 3-year war. Now, Mattathias was killed in battle. But his son, Judah Maccabee, the hammer, Judah Maccabee, took over after his father and succeeded his father, won the war, and drove the Seleucid army out of the land of Israel.
Now,
according to Jewish tradition, when the Maccabees of Modin, now Modin is an area which is maybe about 3 miles south of Jerusalem, when they regained control of the temple after driving the Seleucid Antioch Epiphanes out of the land, when they walked into the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, they were horrified to see its condition. Pig flesh, a pagan altar, a statue to the Greek god Zeus, and the most holy place. The Maccabeans cleansed the temple, and they rededicated the temple back to God. Thus, this is where we get the feast of the dedication, or as they say in Hebrew, Hanukkah. You also hit that guttural there, Hanukkah. They cleansed the temple. Hanukkah is simply an English dedication. They rededicated the temple back to God. Now, here's what I know. According to Jewish tradition, okay? I hope you've ever watched Fiddler on the Roof. He's always singing tradition. Tradition. I love that movie. Fiddler on the Roof. But according to Jewish tradition, after they cleansed the temple, they cleansed the sanctuary, and they restored worship back to the God of Israel, they found one day's supply of oil in the temple. And that oil burned for 8 days. Thus, the 8-day celebration of Hanukkah for the Feast of Dedication. The reason why I have a Hanukkah burning right now, you can see that there are 8 branches on here. And, of course, the middle one right here will be the 9th branch, known as the Shamus in Hebrew. So there are 8 days of Hanukkah for each, and they would light each and every candle for the 8th day of Hanukkah. And by the way, you always light it from right to left since you read Hebrew from right to left. So they light it every single day for the 8th day of Hanukkah. And since they have many different forms of Hanukkah, I mean, right over here off of my right, I have all types of different menorahs and Hanukkahs, and over here I have a big biblical antiquities collection that I bring back from Israel of stuff dating back 2,000 years, 3,000 years, 2,600 years. But this is also another way of making up a Hanukkah. And of course, you can see the 4 branches off each side and the Shamus, the servant candle. Sure, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, who came to be a servant, and he gives light to all those who follow him. So that's why we get the 8 days of Hanukkah, the Feast of the Dedication. They rededicated the temple back to the Lord. By the way, when you read the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verse number 22 and 23, it says this, and it was Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Jesus, as a Jew, his disciples, all Jews, when they're in Jerusalem, celebrating the Feast of the Dedication for Hanukkah. Hanukkah corresponds to Christmas during the same month. It's the Jewish month Kislev. Kislev, which corresponds to late November, early December. One of the reasons we celebrate Christmas in December is because of Hanukkah, the Feast of the Dedication. In 360 A.D., in Antioch, one of the preachers there preached that December 25th was the Feast of the Dedication, or also called the Festival of Lights, and proclaimed was Christmas. And, of course, one of the items of Hanukkah would be the dreidel. And, of course, I have a dreidel right here. And you notice there are Hebrew letters on there, the Hebrew letter Nun, Hey, Shin, Gimel. You'll notice this on the dreidel. And, of course, I have a larger dreidel right to hear as well. Yeah, of course, again, Jewish tradition tells us that before the Maccabean revolt against the Syrian Empire, Jews were secretly reading the Torah, the five books of Moses, and they heard the Seleucid soldiers walking, and so they would roll up the Torah scroll, they would hide it, and they would take off this little top, and then they would just spin the top to saw that, and they would just walk away. And when they were gone, they would take off the Torah and start reading the law of Moses. So, but again, the dreidel. On the dreidel are those Hebrew letters. Nun, Gimel, Hey, She. Now, that is an acronym for Nesedol Hayah Sham, which means a great miracle happened there. Now, I would say there because I am here in the United States of America in Lincoln, Rhode Island. But if I was over there in Israel, then it would say, Nesedol Hayah, great miracle happened here. But I will be over there December 6th through the 24th. So instead of saying, Nesedol Hayah Sham, a great miracle happened over there, I can say, Nesedol Hayah Po, a great miracle happened here, because I will be there in the land of Israel. A great miracle happened here. And what was that miracle, folks? One day supply of oil for 8 days. The 8 day celebration of Hanukkah. Now, Daniel turns a little horn in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, who will also one day in the future desecrate a future third rebuilt Jewish temple. And that would be the Antichrist. It sums up in verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Now, if it jumps to the future, to that future little horn of Daniel 7:8, this would be the Antichrist. Number 37, it shows this future little horn who rises from the ashes of the Roman Empire to take control of a future revived Roman Empire. His main goal is to magnify Satan and destroy the Jewish people. Nothing else matters to him. But I noticed that people try to use verse 37 to say that the Antichrist will be a sodomite because it says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any God, but he shall magnify himself above all. Some people try to say verse 37 speaks of Antichrist being a Jew. I don't think that's the case, folks. He is a future Gentile world ruler who comes out of the sea of nations of Revelation 13:1, the Gentile nations of the world. But what it says the God is born, or sodomite, or anything like that, it just simply means he has one goal, one desire, to magnify Satan, who energized him to be Antichrist, and to destroy the Jewish people, and folks, nothing else matters to him. In verse 7:38, it says, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Now, the God of forces, that phrase is a military term that Antichrist is going to be a military genius. In Daniel 9:27, confirmed by Jesus in Matthew 24:15, the Antichrist will desecrate the future third temple. His very presence alone is going to 2,500 years earlier, with a pig and a pagan altar and a statue. Antichrist ain't going to do that. He's just simply going to walk into the temple and is going to proclaim to the world that he is God. And so Paul the Apostle picks up on that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except the cup of falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all those who are God and God's worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself. Years ago, the Antichrist will walk into that temple, proclaim to the world that he is God. John the Apostle picks up on this in Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 as well, when he speaks of the third future temple in the tribulation period. Remember, folks, Antiochus Epiphanes was a prototype. He was the forerunner of the future Antichrist, and what he's going to do in the temple in the not-too-distant future. And by the way, preparations are underway by the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. Come to Israel with me next year. I'll take you to the Temple Institute. but they're making all the preparations for the rebuilding of the third Jewish temple. They have 28,000 priestly garments and adhesion in place that was reestablished in 2005 in Tiberias. They have elected a high priest by the name of Jaco Simon to oversee temple operations. Is he still a high priest? Well, not sure, but I know in 2005 they did elect him when they reestablished the Sanhedrin. Now, again, folks, Hanukkah begins December 6th going all the way through the 14th. And I am excited that I will be in Israel for Hanukkah, for the Feast of Lights, the Feast of the Dedication. Why is it that you have lights on your Christmas tree or you have lights around your home? The Festival of Lights, the Feast of Dedication. It's because of Hanukkah. Reminds us as students of prophecy, of Bible prophecy, that in the future, Bible prophecy will indeed be fulfilled. And folks, we know the next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church of the living God. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I've got great news for you. The rapture hasn't happened yet. You still have time to get saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. You're either one heart away from going to hell or one trumpet sound away from being left behind. You know, we pray over the situation that happened in California with this shooting that took place over there by Islamic terrorists. And those people who were there on that day, those 14 people were killed, had no idea that that day would be their last day on earth. The Bible says in James 4:14, their life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then vanishes away. God does not promise you and I tomorrow, folks, which is why we need to get saved today. Tomorrow could be too late. Jesus could come today.
If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, just pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sins today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins, and I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, man, I really do want to hear from you. Send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy.org. Let me know you prayed that prayer. I want to rejoice with you, send me some information in the mail to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus. Don't forget, next week, I'll be coming to you live from the land of Israel, and we are excited about that. Until then, this is August now saying keep looking up. Jesus is indeed coming soon. Praise Jesus.
Shalom.